You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening. I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye. There's no secret that domestic violence has been something that has permeated relationships, families, loved ones, people in general from across the globe for many, many years. Perhaps today, because of the 24/7 news cycles and the onset of social media, we hear so much more about it. But being able to survive an abusive relationship and later on talk about it is something very unique, and that's where my my guest this week, author Beverly Gooden, comes in. Beverly's new book is Surviving: Why We Stay and How We Leave Abusive Relationships. And for the next half hour, Beverly will be talking about not only her personal feelings, but the work that she has done as an advocate in helping abuse victims get on with their lives, move on, and but more importantly, to leave the relationship that has caused so much pain and hardship in their lives. Beverly, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
This is, you and I had a chance to talk a little bit before broadcast, and this is an issue that probably goes back to the dawn of time in some form, but today, because of social media and because of 24/7 news cycles, as I talked about, we hear so much more that so people think, oh, God, there's been an uptick in abusive violence. Well, you know, domestic violence, I should say, and perhaps there has been. But, you know, you're not just someone that wrote about it. You're not someone who just interviewed, victims. You yourself were in an abusive relationship, right?
Yeah, I met my ex-husband in college. So kind of like the story that so many people have. You grow up, you dream of the person you're going to marry, you go to college, you kind of follow all the prescribed steps. It's just that I met my ex, and he was kind at first. You know, he was great. He was loving. I tell people all the time that dogs loved him, and you can really trust dogs, you know, when they like someone. And so, you know, he was good. It was good at first, and then really overnight, it was bad. The first time that he hit me was actually on my birthday, and he had thrown me a birthday party, and he said he felt like I wasn't as grateful as I should have been, you know, for his effort in throwing the party. And so we had both been drinking, and we got into, you know, a verbal argument, and then out of nowhere, really out of nowhere, he threw me up against the wall, and he started to choke me. And when he finally let me go, I didn't think, run. You know, like I didn't think, get out of here, this is dangerous, wake up with him. I didn't think that because he had been so good for so long that by the time that this happened, I thought, what did I do to make him? And so I think that's the beginning of a lot of stories of survivorship. You love someone, you're dating someone, they're good to you, there's a pattern of goodness, right? And then all of a sudden there's an incident of violence and you can't make sense of it, so you internalize it.
Yeah.
And that's how it starts.
And as you said, this is someone, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, mother, father, you know, relative, you put so much trust. And I want you to clarify for me, when we talk about domestic violence, there's violence in general, and that's you know, rampant all over the world, you know, random attacks, and we've heard plenty of that just in the past week. But domestic violence, correct me if I'm wrong, we're talking about someone that you know intimately or know someone on a personal basis, someone you trust, someone you may love, someone you may have a lot of faith in. Am I correct that type of...
Yep.
Okay, so that kind of perpetrator is someone that you never would have expected violence from, correct?
Right. It's, you know, there's so many things that fall under the umbrella of domestic violence. There's relationship abuse, so that's partner to partner, regardless of gender identity. There is child abuse, you know, so parent to child or caretaker to child. There is elder abuse, you know, so caretaker to elder or child to elder. There's so many different types of domestic violence. I have only experienced relationship abuse, and so that's the one that I usually focus on. But to your point, there's no expectation. When you're at home, you expect these things. And I think about this a lot when it comes to people asking me, why would anyone stay in a domestic violence situation? When you're at home, you expect safety. Everyone does. That should be your safe place. And so when violence occurs there, initially you have to ask, like, where am I to go? You know? Because you're leaving home, and that's your safe space. But, yes, domestic violence is from someone, involving someone who you trust, who you love. In my case, it was my partner. And I did trust him, and I did love him. I loved him when I married him, after he was abusive. That's an element of my story, that I still went on to marry him. I loved him when I left him. So love was never the issue. The issue was his actions. The issue was the violence. And so never expected it. It happened, and it continued to happen. But along the way, I thought I could fix it. You know, like, I thought I could figure out his temper. I thought I could figure out, you know, exactly how he liked the dishes to be washed every day. Mm. You know, I thought I could figure out exactly what to wear, you know, so he wouldn't get upset. I thought I could, it was like a puzzle, and I could figure it out, and then I could stop the abuse. You know, it took years for me to realize that I was not in control of the abuse. He was in control of the abuse.
Right.
And that's also something that survivors struggle with. It's, you know, you're trying to figure out how to fix it, because you don't want the relationship to end. You just want the violence to end.
Right.
And so you're trying to figure out how to preserve the relationship, how to keep yourself safe. If you have children or other, you know, people in the household, you're trying to figure out how to keep them safe. And you just forget that abuse is about control anyway. And so you're aching to control a behavior that is outside of your control, and that really takes so long to sink in.
Now, the underlying theme, as I'm listening to you this evening, is control. So, because I hear this from a lot of people saying, well, you know, he or she's a control freak, and they dictate every movement and everything that this person or that person does, whether it's their spouse, their family members, their children. You don't necessarily, I mean, is that sort of the underlying theme for someone who becomes an abuser, to first and foremost be a control freak? Because I don't believe that everybody who's a control freak.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. No, everyone who's not, I mean, I would, you know, I like to be in control too. So I'm not abusive, but, you know, I like to have control of my life. And I think that's the key difference.
Right.
You know, I like to have control of my life and my circumstances. When I say my life, I mean me, my person. However, an abusive person, an abuser, wants control of you. They want control of your life, and by you, I mean their partner, whoever that is. And so, you know, when the control extends outward, that's the problem. And so abusers, people, when I say abusers, by the way, I mean people who abuse, people who are abusive. I feel like a lot of times, especially on social media, we'll just throw out the term abusers, but there's no definition. So when I'm saying abusers, I'm talking about people like my husband who were abusive. They want power over you. They want control. You for
whatever
reason.
Yeah, and then we seem to the connection gets a little tough sometimes with these cell phones. But you were talking about the abuser wanting dominance over you as a victim, and that brings in and you must have. This must have been something that just went over, you went over and over and over, especially as you left the relationship, the fact that, you know, where did he, you know, where did this come from? I didn't see this initially. Did he not have the upbringing that we think that normal men and women have? Was he or she abused early on in life? I've heard stories of that as well. I mean, it's, in other words, Beverly, there really isn't any one size that fits all, right? I mean, you don't necessarily have to come from a bad or dysfunctional past to be an abuser.
mean, that's exactly the point. Yeah, we don't know, you know. I mean, there's a lot of, I write about in my book how, you know, a lot of people have done a lot of research about why abusers abuse, and I think that's important. But the answers are so varied. You know, there's no one reason why people are abusive. There's no one reason why they want control or power. You know, it's something inside of them. And so one of the things I write about is how I went on this journey of trying to understand my ex-husband and trying to understand the abuse. And then after a year or two, I just stopped. You know, like I just said, you know, I'll never know exactly why he did these things to me. But what I know is that I have a life moving forward, you know, right, and that right. I want to live that life and I want to figure out how to do this. I always think about how, you know, surviving the abuse was a part of the story, and then the hard work was, you know, after. You know, the hard work was rebuilding and reinventing. That was hard work. And so, you know, understanding the abuse and understanding how, you know, it fit in my life and what to do with that moving forward was hard.
Yeah. I don't think anybody can ever really appreciate, you know, the work that you've had to do, as you said, to rebuild your life. Because unless you've been in that position, I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye. My guest this week is author and journalist Beverly Gooden. Her new book is Surviving, Why We Stay and How We Leave Abusive Relationships. And Beverly talks not only from research that she's done interviewing various people, but speaks personally from an abusive relationship that she felt at the end that she had to leave. And Beverly, that I think for most people, and this is what I've heard, and I want to ask you directly, people say, well, you know, why did you stay as long as you did? And you touched upon some of the things that, well, you know, I still loved that person. I believed that I could that I could change him or I could change her. But I really heard from you, and I, you know, like to have you expand on it, is the fact that what you found was that, what did I do wrong? What is it that I'm doing wrong? I'll wash those dishes better. I'll make sure they're shiny and spotless. Or I'll make sure the floor is vacuumed right. Or I'll come home earlier every night. Is that pretty much what most victims feel and why they don't leave initially? Is because they really believe that they're putting guilt on themselves, right?
Yes. Yes. I mean, that is exactly it. So I found that speaking with, you know, survivors and doing some research, that so many people who experience domestic violence, women particularly, not that women are the only ones that do, but women in particular, really do turn inward. So they point the abuse inward. As soon as it starts, it becomes a question of, how can I fix this? Society has told me that I can fix things like this. Like, love conquers all. It's in my power, you know, to fix the relationship. I am in control of this. I can, you know, but the reality is that that's not true when it comes to abuse. And I think about how, for me, for example, my ex-husband did not like for me to wear V-neck shirts. Now, we lived in Texas. It is hot all the time.
Right.
You know, V-neck shirts are normal. You should be able to wear V-neck shirts. My ex-husband didn't like it because it showed too much of my chest. And so I said, okay, I will wear high-neck shirts. I wear high-neck shirts. It'll be fine. Did that. The abuse didn't stop. I was like, okay, I'll wear turtlenecks in Texas.
Oh, my God.
You know, I'll wear turtlenecks, and that'll fix it. Like, no skin showing, it'll be fine. That didn't work.
Wow.
You know, and so after a while of that, same with the dishes. I use that example because that was what happened. You know, he was very clean, and he had trauma from his own childhood. You know, that's not necessarily my story to tell, but he had a lot of things going on, and so that manifested in, like, extreme neatness. So anything out of place was always a problem.
Right.
That was always a launch point to something, to some anger. And so I thought I had that figured out. I'm like, okay, I will wash the dishes at this exact time every evening. They will be in the dishwasher, and then I will immediately take them out and put them in the cupboard, and then everything will be fine. And then it wasn't. You know, so there was always something else. And that's the thing that I found with abusive relationships. You think you have it figured out as the victim, and then there's always something else. And so it just doesn't stop. And so that's part of the reason why we say we're trying to figure out how to fix it so we can preserve it. I mean, and then, you know, that's just one of the reasons. Another reason, well, actually the most common reasons have to do with resources. You know, survivors have restricted access to bank accounts or credit cards. You know, part of abuse sometimes is a cycle of control where an abuser can say, you know, I don't want you to work. You don't have to work. I'll take care of you. You know, and the point is to limit your actual resources so that you can't leave the relationship. That happens. That's the reason why people stay. Food and shelter once people leave. Housing is expensive.
Yeah.
Housing is so expensive. I think about how I was living so good, aside from the abuse, when I was married. You know, I didn't have to think about things. I didn't have to pay everything by myself. I had to pay everything in this house by myself. You know?
Right, right.
You know, I didn't have to do that. It was okay, other than the abuse. And so, you know, when you're leaving, especially into this economy where, you know, the price of everything has skyrocketed, you have to figure that out on your own. And then add on to that kids or parents or someone else who, you know, is innocent in that situation and lives with you. You have to figure that out for them too, you know. And so there's so many reasons.
You made it so clear, because one of the questions that I often hear, and I'm sure you hear this more than most people, is that, well, why didn't you just? And I said it earlier, why didn't you just walk away? Because mm-hmm. and it may sound. Superficial, it may sound ridiculous. Well, you know, hey, if you're being abused, I don't care about the money. But your security is a major issue. You participated in building whatever you had, accumulating whatever you had. And then the last and most important is, I can't even imagine when there are children, because I have heard stories where there are children involved and the spouse, one or the other, was the victim of abuse. And if you do leave and you file for a divorce, inevitably you may not get full custody. So now you have to really be concerned about losing your children. So I think when people say, well, I don't know why the heck he or she just didn't walk away. Well, you know, as you're pointing out this evening, there are just so many factors involved, and it's not clear cut, is it?
It's not. It never is. And I think that's one of the things to remember if we're people who have not experienced abuse, is that what we see is only 10% of the story, you know, and what we see, if we ever see it, you know, because sometimes there aren't bruises, and sometimes, you know, those are covered up if there are. Sometimes you'll never know that your coworker or your sister or brother or someone you know or friend is being abused. But when you do get a peek in there, when you see something going on, it's just a part of it, because inside of the survivor is a world of confusion, of chaos, and of uncertainty that's going on inside of them. So they're thinking about their safety, they're thinking about feeding their children, they're thinking about, as you mentioned, which is an excellent point, custody of the children, because most of the time you have to have income to have custody. You know, like, there's a lot of things that you need to have in place in order to, you know, be able to prove that you can provide a solid, secure environment for your children. And if your life is in flux, how do you prove that? And so you have to think about that. You have to think about filing for divorce. There are requirements, residency requirements, that I learned of when I tried to file for divorce. So I had to stay in the county that I was in for an extra 3 months, I think, 3 or 6 months, you know, to be able to file. So there's so many things, you know, it's, when you start to think about it, it's just like massive. There's so many things to consider when you walk out of the door, that just walking out of the door is not an option.
Right. It's not like getting in the car, turning the ignition on and backing out and saying, see ya. There's just so much. And I can't even imagine, but more to the point, people will say, well, okay, is Beverly a psychiatrist, a psychologist? No, you were just a survivor who felt compelled to write this book. So it's really a personal memoir. from my point of view, right?
Yeah, I am not a psychiatrist. I'm not a psychologist. I was in graduate school, actually, studying the issue of housing and in the unhoused population. This is way back in 2009 when the abuse started. By the time I left him and went back to grad school to finish, I had a whole new thesis. So I actually wrote about single women experiencing domestic violence for my master's thesis. And from there, I just didn't talk about it again. You know, I wrote did my research, I completed my master's degree, and then I was like, I'm done with this, I'm moving on, I'm going to find something else. And the thing about I feel like a calling, you know, is that it always calls you. That's why it's a calling, you know, it just keeps coming back to you. And so with the hashtag Why I Stayed, when that went viral in 2014, that was a part of it. And I was just kind of like, you know, this is, I don't know if I really want to talk about it. But then, you know, I know we were talking earlier, we're talking about how domestic violence is something that is kind of always simmering in the background of the societal conversation. And it's not always up front. You know, it doesn't always boil over. Sometimes it does, and it's usually in spurts. And then it goes quiet again. Right. And they don't really hear about it until, you know, there is a celebrity domestic violence related case in the media like there is now. You know, you don't really talk about it again. And so I want to make the domestic violence conversation a constant conversation, because if the statistics bear out, it is statistically impossible for us all not to know someone who has experienced abuse, regardless of gender identity, and that is frightening.
Right.
1 in 4 women, 1 in 6 men, and there's really no data on non-binary or genderqueer people. But with just those two, we all know someone. We just don't know who they are.
Right.
And so that's why it's something that I wanted to write about. I mean, at its core, the book Surviving is a story, I would say, of reinvention. You know, a lot of times we get the story of abuse and escape, but not what happens after. And so I wanted to write about all three. I wanted to, you know, put an emphasis on life after abuse, but I also wanted to write about the abuse, because I think that's what we need to talk about most. I wanted to write about the escape, but then I wanted to write about moving on and what healing looks like for me and things like dating again, which is wild, and, you know, my dreams for the future.
Right.
And then, you know, I think about how from the day I met him until well after I left, I was constantly reinventing my life as an abuse survivor. And it was hard, but it wasn't impossible. You know, so in the book, as a Black woman, I wanted to tell the story of how it feels knowing that no one would come and save you. You know, knowing that you're not the type of person who gets rescued, and what that feels like, and how you, you know, experience abuse knowing that you're going to have to save yourself. You know, so that is what Surviving is about. One of my goals is to explain abuse through storytelling. And so I wanted others to know why survivors stay in abusive relationship, and then also what it takes to get out of them.
And I think the most, as we start to wind down this evening, I think the most compelling part, and you kind of summed it right up there, is that, this is not a discussion with somebody with a clinical background who personally has never lived this, but has just done case studies and has, earned degrees in counseling. That's all well and good, and that may be part of the healing process. Mm-hmm. But I think hearing from someone like yourself, I think most survivors would say, wow, I mean, she went through this, and this is how she survived. This is where she is now. But yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to cross the finish line, rebuild my life, and go on. And I think I really think it hits home, Beverly, when it's coming from someone who's lived that life first and foremost and has survived it. That I think that's the crux of the whole thing. Will I ever have a life after? Will it be anything normal? Will I ever see a normal life again? And I think that's what holds so many people back. But as I said, with just the final moments. But again, give folks that because your people can reach out to you directly now. Why I stayed, right? Hashtag Why I Stayed. Is that the website?
Yes. Yeah, so it's hashtag Why I Stayed, but my personal website is just my name. It's Beverly Gooden, B-E-V-E-R-L-Y, last name G-O-O-D-E-N, and it's beverlygooden.com, I'm Bev on all social. You can think of like cool, creative names. So just use mine.
that's great. And you know, Beverly has garnered national interest on this topic. Speaking on ABC's Good Morning America, she's been on NPR's All Things Considered and NBC's The Today Show. So this is an issue that's really on the forefront. That takes people.
Yeah.
It takes people some time to wrap their, as they say, wrap their minds around it. But it's going on daily. Beverly said it herself this evening that in your lifetime, you will eventually find somebody, know somebody, hear about somebody, maybe a neighbor, maybe a loved one, or just coincidentally bumping into someone and said, oh, by the way, did you know that so-and-so had this situation going on for, I never realized that. I mean, you hear that all the time, Beverly, so it's so frightening, it's just nice for people to be able to talk directly or even read the book, because as I said, it was you talked about living through this and how you did cross that finish line, as I mentioned, and made and turned your life around, and I'm sure there's still haunting those days that still haunt you, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I still have nightmares.
Yeah.
I still have nightmares. I guess I know we're wrapping up, but I just wanted to say that I think about a lot the trauma and the damage of surviving abuse. And I think after all that's over, a survivor has to look around and ask, what didn't break? Because in order to build something, you need materials, even recycled ones. So you ask yourself, what didn't break? And then you build a new life based on what you can recycle. And I think that's really my message in surviving.
Yeah, great advice. Again, the book is Surviving, Why We Stay and How We Leave Abusive Relationships. And my guest has been the author and a woman who has lived through an abusive relationship, Beverly Gooden. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.